Good morning. It's great to be with you. I'm a little sick today, but not as sick as the last time I was here. If you were here, you may remember I had some strange illness. We were not sure what it was, whether I was infecting everyone. I will let you know, I found out later I was not infectious. I feel a lot better today. And it's good to be here on this Sunday of the Transfiguration. I know you've been getting ready. Rectors and vicars sometimes tell me how much they love when I come because the grass gets mowed and the place gets cleaned up. But you've been getting ready, asking some interesting questions. I read your newsletter regarding my visit and found that there was discussion about clothing for today. To which your rector wisely suggested, just wear some. I'm glad she did, looking out at you. I'm glad she did. And indeed, she's right. I sure hope you all will just wear what you would usually wear when I come to town. That whole discussion reminded me of my first visit here, which some of you know about and lived through with me. But the first time I ever visited St. Paul's, I brought my son, Austin, along, and we did some hiking over here and spent the night. And when I got up in the morning, I went to get my suit out of the closet in the hotel and discovered I had no pants. So I had no idea where they were. I sent Austin out, had him look in the car. No, Dad, they're not there. And then I ended up having to wear my dirty jeans that I had worn to hike the day before with my suit and collar. I apologize when I got here, but person after person said, "We love it. You should wear jeans more often." Almost wore them today just to celebrate being here. And just incidentally, I found my suit pants on the floor of my garage when I got home. And that story does bring us to today. It's an interesting that this is the feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. This event, the Transfiguration, as in most events, is proclaimed to have taken place at a place, an actual place. If you go to the Holy Land, many such places are contested, but most believe that this event, the Transfiguration, happened on Mount Tabor, which rises out of the lower Galilee on the Jezreel Plain, about 11 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. I was there just a month or so ago, and it's an amazing view up there, 360 degrees, and when you're there, you think it makes total sense that this happened there. Who knows for sure? For Moses, it was Mount Sinai, also a real place in Egypt. We can see from all the readings today that when our God wishes to speak, and more than that, wishes to speak through others, there's a theme. Shining faces, glowing people, brightness, a lamp shining in the darkness, morning, dawn, so many images. Today, we're going to do a lot of wonderful things here. We're going to cross the street and bless some land, blessedly given to you so that you might now care for it. We're going to gather and share the meal that reminds us each time of our connection to Jesus, our God, and most especially to one another. And maybe most importantly, if we were to give a hierarchy to it, we're going to baptize into this community a child of this community, Mei Ling. I think these are great things to have happen on this day, the day of the Transfiguration. I would want to point out that in all the Transfiguration stories of today, whether on Mount Sinai or Mount Tabor, if you go there today, you will not find much that's left from those events. You will find a monastery and a church on the top of Mount Tabor. I'm not sure what you will find on Sinai, but I don't think you'll find anything left at the time Moses was there. And that may be just the point for us. In both cases, Moses nor Jesus stayed there. The people with Jesus certainly wanted to. I mean, who could blame them? They had just witnessed something that was so astounding, so blew their minds, that they thought they should mark the place, even stay there a while. But Jesus is totally of another mind. "We cannot stay," he says. "Our work is not here. We learn things here, but we finally must go." He tells them, "Get up and do not be afraid." In a sense, you see here what is real all the time. In a sense, I wonder if what didn't happen on that mountain was the piercing of the veil, as they say, between heaven and earth, what has been called a thin place. Whatever happened, it was noteworthy enough that there are versions of this story in every gospel, and it's alluded to in our reading from 1 Peter today. I would suggest to you what is important about this event we commemorate today is not the event itself, but what happens after it. You can always go up the mountain, and we all have mountaintop experiences, but whether they're metaphorical or real, you can't stay there. They come to an end. You eventually have to come down the mountain. You're left with the experience of the event, and you're left with whatever call it put on your life. So today we will bless the land, and then you will get to decide how to use it. If we bless it and enjoy that event, but walk away and do nothing with it, especially if doing nothing is unintentional, we are not really being stewards of the blessing. I guess I would say the blessing continues. It's not a static thing, just like the transfiguration is not one either. And then we will be baptizing Mei Ling Elizabeth. Our prayer book says that in baptism, God adopts us as his children. I've publicly said many times, and I will again right now, that I find this statement to be totally bogus. I think it's one of the worst statements in our prayer book. This idea, this statement means well, but I believe what it says is it takes us as humans to do this, what we do today to get God's attention and make God adopt Mei Ling. I just totally disagree with that. God loves her every bit whether we do it or not, and does not love her one bit more or less because of what we do here today. The point is not really for us to get God's attention and to get God to love her. The point is to get our attention and to get us to love her and to love and care for all those we call Christian in our family, and then through the vows we will all recite in the baptismal covenant to be Christian to everyone we meet, no matter who they are or what creed they follow. In a sense, baptism is every time a transfiguration, if we look close today. We might even see Mei Ling shine, radiate, beam. This event is supposed to be for us a lamp shining in the darkness. And it's not supposed to be only something we witness, but something that happens to us and for us too. We baptize infants because it's not even about them getting it, about them understanding what they're doing. Instead, it's about us understanding what God is calling us to be together as community. And it takes a lifetime to try to understand that. For the godparents and parents and all of us who answer that question to support this child, it's a call on us to do that, to raise them so that they remember this day as their transfiguration. And it should take on some wild storylines. It should be a fascinating story that people wonder about. Did it really happen like that? You know, the ceiling parted and a beam of light came down upon you. It ought to be big like that, because it's happening, whether we see it or not. So it doesn't matter if you dressed up or not, whether you lost your pants and are wearing jeans, whether you buy every bit of the story literally of the transfiguration. What is more important is what do you think it means about our God and about our response to God. When God speaks, however God speaks, through blessing or from this Mother Earth or the person you live with or through a baby, it should make us fall to our knees in awe. But we are never meant to stay there. No, eventually our God comes to us, and one way or the other, puts her hand on our shoulder and says, "Get up and be not afraid." Let's go from this place, transfigured, to share the good news of Christ. My sisters and brothers, I have said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.